Welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop
and Daniel Ettinger. How you doing, Bishop?
I'm here. I'm here.
We're still both on like this injured reserve list. It's wild. It's wild. But we're doing our best, people. We're doing our best to show up and provide some podcasting for you. Please check out our website, keepyouhumane.com. You still have a few days to order if you want to get some stuff by Christmas on the website. I have those challenge coins. Those are back. So check those out. keepyouhumane.com/store. And you can order there. What about Facebook? We're redoing our Instagram. I didn't tell anybody that, but that's happening. So we're going to look for that here in a little bit. And just some other fun stuff coming in the new year. So please check it out, like, share, and rate the podcast.
And if you are trying to get on the Facebook page, please answer the questions. If people aren't answering the questions, we're not going to be able to approve you onto the Facebook page. So
yeah.
But we want to hear from you. So do that.
Yeah. What Bishop said, answer the questions.
It's only two. They're simple. Yes, no answers.
What's the weather like? So, you know, I moved to Southern California. I'm all excited about like not having winter. And I tell you right now, the weather is 7:45 Southern California and is currently 50 degrees out and it's cold, bro.
Cold.
I'm cold. I had to put a little space heater on this morning.
Are you kidding me right now? It is currently 23 degrees, but it feels like 13.
I'll pass.
And we have a light dusting of snow on the ground.
It's funny because I'm in this hoodie. And you can check us out on YouTube too, by the way. If you want to watch these on YouTube, just go to just type in the Animal Control Report. You'll find it. I got the hoodie on and you got the t-shirt on. So
yep.
It's hilarious that way. Oh my.
I have a cat butt on my back. It's great.
You have the Tabitha fan club.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very common.
We love Tabitha.
Yeah. What's not to love about Tabitha? We'll see them in a couple weeks here in the new year. So that'll be fun. Having them back on. So yeah, we got a lot of things coming for 2024. Next week will be a good episode. You won't want to miss that with none other than best friends. So we'll see how that goes. I might even consider doing a live recording for that. My dog is extremely excited about it.
I hear that.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can't wait to see what dad says this week about best friends. Are you ready for that episode?
I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just trying to balance tact with still getting our, or at least my message across, which, you know, we'll find out next week. So Mooney's like, yeah, tell him, Dad.
He's fine.
Well, I guess we could jump in. You know, we had, for those that maybe are just joining the podcast as listeners, a couple months ago, we put out requests for ACO and agencies of the year. And we got a really great turnout. So I want to just thank everybody for participating. I know we did talk a little bit about that before, but thank you for all the people that did participate. And we reviewed them and came up with our winners. And so we're going to announce the shelter of the year, agency of the year, if you will, here in a few minutes. And then I think in 2 weeks, we have an episode with the ACO of the year. So you'll want to check that out.
In 9 days, but yes.
Well, it'll air in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the different thing of
making
life.
Sure you were with us, Daniel.
Oh, I'm with you. There's no doubt about that. So in that aspect, we will be able to announce the winner then, and that's pretty exciting to do that. So should we read the nomination? What do you think?
I think so.
Okay.
I think you should, because it's always funny when you try to read.
It is always funny when I try to read, but we'll give it a shot. See how big I can make this text here on my computer. That's not an excuse.
Are you getting old?
I'm definitely old. All right, definitely old. I got to steal Mooney's toy. He's not happy, but it's okay, boy. It's okay. It's okay. He's like, Dad, I was playing, and I want you to play too. And he doesn't understand we're doing a live recording right now, so it's okay. All right, let's do this. So, again, nominations were put out. We closed nominations at the end of, what was that, end of November, right?
Yes.
And then we reviewed them. So we got a nomination from, I'll say his name right, Tyler Winkler, and he nominated the El Paso County Animal Welfare Department. And I'll read the nomination here, but I got to get control of my dog. He's going, Mooney, come. You want to be on TV, boy? Come here. Come on. All the way.
Hi, Mooney.
All the way. All the way, boy. You want to say hi to people? What's going on in his brain? He says, what's going on, guys? I'm crazy. Okay. So. All right, here we go. Here's the nomination. Transforming lives and fostering a brighter future for pets. El Paso County Animal Welfare Department in the vibrant city of El Paso, Texas. The El Paso County Animal Welfare Department has constantly demonstrated an unwavering commitment to enhancing the lives of animals and their human companions. A recent and noteworthy endeavor involves the conversion of an 8,000 square foot portable building, once a VA mobile clinic, into a vital asset now owned by the county's Animal Welfare Department. The facility will soon house groundbreaking pet wellness clinic, embodying a vision of providing essential services to pet owners across the county at little to no cost. Thanks to the collective efforts of the county commissioners and a generous $1.3 million federal grant, this clinic, situated in an empty lot in Horizon, is poised to address the critical needs with the community. The array of services to be offered, The array of services to be offered, including spay and neutering, microchipping, flea and tick preventative medicine, or measurement, sorry. Let me try that again. Somebody's going crazy over here. What's going on, boy? He won't leave me alone. It's hilarious. All right, let me try that again. He's never been this crazy during our episode.
No, he hasn't.
This is hilarious. Mooney, no, you can't go there. You can't, boy. You can't. It's not happening. Good boy. Let me refine where I was there. That was a little bit crazy. All right. All right. The array of services to be offered, including spaying and neutering, microchipping, flea and tick preventatives, and more, reflects a proactive approach to curbing the influx of stray animals. The initiative not only aims to alleviate some of the burdens of the animal services shelter, but also to foster a culture of responsible pet ownership within the community. Furthermore, the clinic serves a dual purpose, aiming to tackle the nationwide shortage of veterinarians. It's a huge problem, as we know. The department has collaborated with veterinary students at the University of, we're going to have to get our guest to tell us how to pronounce this, but I'm going to try. At the University of Autonoma de, somewhere in Mexico, okay, in Juarez. We're just going to leave that. We'll let our guest tell me how to actually say it. These students will actively participate in the clinic, gaining hands-on experience and providing essential services to pets. Upon graduation, these students will sign a 3-year contract with the county, during which the county will support them in obtaining the specific license required to practice in Texas. Combs, that's the executive director who we'll introduce here in a second, and her team recognize the barriers faced by these talented graduates, such as financial hardships or hurdles associated with certification programs and the necessity of demonstrating proficiency in English. With visionary foresight, they advocated for support from the county to assist these aspiring veterinarians. The department's dedication to bridging the gap and leveraging the valuable skill set of these graduates set powerful examples for the community and highlights their commitment to animal welfare at a broader scale. The planned opening of the clinic represents a milestone in the El Paso County Animal Welfare Department's ongoing mission to revolutionize animal care and welfare. the clinic's multifaceted approach, addressing financial barriers for pet owners and contributing to the education and growth of future veterinarians, showcases the department's innovative thinking and unwavering determination to make a lasting impact on animal welfare in the county. In conclusion, the El Paso County Animal Welfare Department exemplifies vision and dedication in the realm of animal care. This transformative initiatives, particularly the establishment of a pet wellness clinic and the collaboration with aspiring veterinarians, stands as the beacon of hope for the entire community. Through their efforts, they are not only addressing the immediate needs of animals and pet owners, but also actively shaping a better and brighter future for animals and humans alike. So that was written again. That was really well written by Tyler Winkler. Just really highlighting how we tackle that access to care issue that we see so much in our profession. And I think it's really important that we address those issues. Where's the sun thing coming from? Whoa. I just came back from reading that and I got this like big sun ball. Again, check that out on YouTube. That's wild. But it really highlights that whole thing of providing a community resource, which I'm really excited. So I think let's just get our guests on. Let's introduce Lorelei Combs. She is the executive director of the El Paso County Animal Welfare Department. And welcome, Lorelei.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, first off, can we start with the correct pronunciation of the college?
Pronunciation?
We're going to have to bring Crystal on for that. My Espanol is poquito Espanol. So I always say we partnered with the medical university in our sister city, Juarez, in Mexico. It's just basically across the street from our office.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. It's Universidad Autónoma de Ciudad Juarez.
Okay. Yes,
that's it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I tried. So Lorelei and Crystal, let's just talk briefly about Tyler. Tyler?
Yes.
Who is Tyler?
Well, Tyler was an amazing animal welfare officer with us for 8 months. We have a dental school here who his wife is enrolled in. She's going to be a dentist. And Tyler formerly was at San Antonio under the great Shannon Sims, a great director over there. And he transferred here to be closer to his wife. And okay. He came in, he applied, and I looked at his resume and I said, whoa, why are you here? Because all that talent just, you know, landing in the borderland, it's kind of uncommon. And so we had him for 8 months. So I mean, hearing you read that, Daniel, wow. Yes, he went on to something that is more suits his skill set, which is, of course, the Humane Society of the United States, their cruelty investigation. And he teaches, and he's been in the there ever since. And no better person to write about us than someone who spent 8 months boots on the ground with us. So that's who Tyler is.
It was really well written. And Bishop, I didn't mess it up as bad as you thought.
No, Mooney, you didn't. I'm
Mooney impressed. Was trying. Mooney was trying to get me to mess it up. He was. That was his goal, but I think we made it through.
So how the programs that Tyler was talking about, how long have those been in effect? Like how long have you been working towards that goal?
We are a very new department, Ashley. Thank you for that question. I started when COVID started, April 2020. I was in Broward County 2 years before that, Fort Lauderdale, and then Austin for 17 years. So Austin Animal Center. So starting a new department, pulling it out from under the sheriff's department, a lot of animal welfare agencies start there. But the county recognized the need for another shelter to be built. So they approached me, the county administrator, Ms. Keller, said, how would you like to build something from the ground up? And, you know, being in this business for 24 years, I was like, yeah, Haven't done that before. I'd love to try that. You mean build the shelter? And she said, yeah, but I want you to use the inmates to clean the back of the house, teach them a transferable skill, which is a program I did in Travis County. So come April 2020, I was here. I started April 6th. I drove here in March from Fort Lauderdale because the governor closed the airport and the governor closed the border. And I was like, no way in heck am I going to get stuck in Florida. No, no offense. But so I just started driving in my little Volkswagen and off I went and made it to El Paso. And I asked our county commissioners, you know, Administrator Ms. Keller, do you want me to wait and start later? She's like, no, start right away. I was like, okay, you know, we're frontline workers. We need to be on the ground. Where's the office? Thank you for the laptop somebody gave me. I mean, everybody was sequestered in, you know, they were quarantined. Mm-hmm. So it was really in a unique, and there was no platform for me to follow, you know, like, what do we do during a pandemic to start a new department? Couldn't find that anywhere. So we just rolled with it, right? I just had to do it. So March, April. I remember texting Crystal going, okay, where are you? Where's the office? And so I'll, you know, I'll let her finish with that story. But so,
speaking April, of where she is, so Crystal, she's the administrative services manager. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. That's correct.
Welcome, Crystal. So, and if you want to put your camera on, you can. It's totally up to you. It will go on YouTube. So I know you popped in for a second. So
sorry.
It's okay.
No, my dogs are running around like crazy, so they're going to, I know they're bound to knock something over, so I'll just leave it up for them.
I had to suffer through that myself, so I totally get it. And you've, how long have you been with the department?
So I've been with the department since it started, really. I am still, I think, the only original from the sheriff's department. I've been doing this for about 8 years now. And I mean, it all started really with trying to help the community. You know, as I hate to say this word, but you know, a lot of people call us dog catchers, and I hated that. And sure. I just, you know, a couple of officers and myself just started, you know, saying, hey, you know, we can do better than just take to the shelter. I don't want to be a dog catcher. Let's be more proactive. Start reaching out to rescues, getting these pups out to rescues. And then the sheriff did initially start helping us out with getting vouchers to local veterinarians to assist with spay and neuter. So once we became a department within the county, it's just amazing that we're able to do what we were doing at a larger scale now.
And I think that's where, in my opinion, where animal welfare is currently struggling is we're not, and I'm gonna say this generally because obviously your department and your vision is focusing on the real issue. We can have foster programs. We can have transfer programs. We can move animals around. We can have live release rates. We can have all this stuff. The reality is if we're not tackling the main issue, which is sterilizing animals from, you know, making more animals coming into the shelter, we're never truly going to get ahead of this. Right. And so that's where, in my opinion, the change in our profession truly starts is finding a way to provide care, and you're doing right. It. And that's really impressive to be that beacon. I think as Tyler put it in his, you know, nomination is like really finding a way to provide care. And so I want people to check out your website, which is it's epcounty.com/animal welfare. Again, epcounty.com/animal welfare, just so they can get a better idea and see some of the programs that are offered there. Because I think it's super important that we're really showing people that this can be done. And with all due respect, I don't think people would think it would start in a place like El Paso. I think they would probably, right? And I don't mean that disrespectfully.
No, of course. I mean, I completely get it. I know that there's a little bit of controversy with this, with the verbiage, but, you know, it's not culture, but it's just how we were raised. I mean, unfortunately here, a lot of dogs were, you know, chained up. They were garbage disposals growing up, and then it just transformed into their family members.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I want to be out there and I want dogs to be treated just like how you treat my dogs. I mean, obviously I don't expect people to give them bottled water like I do my dogs, but, you know, try and give them something to treat them like family members. And I think that's what the community has appreciated so much from our department.
So you guys have, you started this program where the med students have to sign on for 3 years. And it sounds like you're probably coming up at the end of those 3 years. Are you getting pretty close to that?
Right. No. What happened, Ashley, the progression was, yes, I'll come and take the job. I want to build the shelter. Then looking at it from an analytical point of view, just what Daniel just said, gee, there's no spay neuter. We need to sterilize. That's the problem. First, I looked at the city shelter. Their intake was massive, like 25,000 animals a year.
Wow.
With a population of 800,000. So I always correlated the population to how many animals are you going to intake at your shelter. And I couldn't figure out why theirs was huge. I mean, in Broward County, we had a population of 2 million and we covered 31 cities. But our intake was like 11,000. And then I went back and looked at Austin's stats. And I remember when I started in 2001, our intake was just around 18,000. And we got it down to about 11,000 too. And I'm like, what are we missing? And I just looked and looked and looked. And I went, oh, there it is. We have no low cost or no cost spay neuter resources for the people that love pets here. And they do love pets here. They are, like Crystal said, they're family here. They're treated like family. The majority of them are treated like family. I can say that. Honestly, they love their animals here. So my second step was to go back to my commission court and say, I can build you a shelter, but it's going to be full in 2 days with 100 new kennels. We're not addressing the big picture here. We have no spay neuter resources. And then I said, we really need a low-cost clinic. And they did the steps. They took the vote. They said, okay. And then I did more research. And, you know, I'm like, whoopsie, there's no vets, especially in the borderland. Zero. Then I go to the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'm like, what's going on? You know, and you've heard their statements. There's no shortage, according to them. But clearly, they haven't been in the borderland, where we have packs of animals everywhere. So I said, okay, well, that's not true. So let me keep talking to people. Where are we going to get vets? So we contracted with a couple veterinarians, you know, maybe once or twice a month, but that's not enough. We need intentional high volume spay neuter services.
Love that word.
I started talking to people.
Intentional high volume spay neuter services.
I mean, can I just say it? Aggressive and intentional. Yeah. High volume, high quality,
love that.
Triaged spay neuter.
Like, how many are you pumping out now?
Not enough. Not enough. And the reason being is, again, the vet shortage. So when in discussing things, you know, I'm a boots on the ground person. That's how I figure stuff out. I'm a whiteboard fanatic. So I need to talk to people. And I'm like, why are you here? You're a vet tech, but I hear you're a graduate. You're a doctor in Mexico. Why aren't you a doctor here? We can't afford it. And we don't speak English well enough to read, test, and write in English. So that again, that's another thing that bothers me, but we'll leave that. We'll sidebar that for another conversation. Insisting that people test in a language that is not indigenously theirs, I find very discriminatory. But okay, you know, we'll do test your way in English. We'll come back and we'll spay neuter in our language that our customers are comfortable with, which is Spanish, if you don't mind. So we'll move on from that. So then I said, okay, let's look at the cost of it for this foreign vet program. It's about $25,000 for the certification program. So in 2023, I got those resident positions approved in January. We interviewed, gosh, I want to say, Crystal, was it like over 30 applicants that applied? And then
it felt like 100.
Yeah. I mean, you're we went to Juarez, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So I needed to partner with someone who could teach this type of spay-neuter surgery. And in Broward County, my veterinarian is always asked to go to the Spay-Neuter Alliance in North Carolina, run by the ASPCA. So I reached out to them, and I said, look, I have this idea. And they said, we love that idea, Lorelei. We're coming out. And I said, what? We're coming over. We're going to go to Juarez with you. And I'm like, okay, that's brave. You don't get that very often. So off we go across the border, and we met, I guess, gosh, hundreds of fourth and fifth year veterinarian students that were graduating, ready to come. So we interviewed, we selected two. And as of Friday, right, Crystal, I want to say Brian, Dr. Brian Garcia, passed his first clinical exam with the American Veterinarian Medical Association. So we are on our way.
Mm-hmm.
So they,
when you said hundreds, like, so there are veterinarians. We're just not able to.
Auditorium full. Like over there in Juarez, they graduate over 100 people every semester. So there is so many veterinarians out there. Whereas here, I believe the average, if I'm not mistaken, is about 10, 15, maybe a year.
Is there any outside of just, like if you were to measure the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like if you put a graduate from Mexico up against a graduate from the United States, would there be any difference?
Yes. In America, we teach our students to test. Just like if you're going to law school, you're going to med school, you test. I'm a law school dropout, so I can assure you it's miserable. And they graduate with one spay-neuter surgery. It's a spay surgery. One.
In Mexico.
In the United States.
What?
We are
one
the land.
Surgery?
Yes, because that's what you need to pass to get your license in the United States.
Okay.
So they get out of school. That's why my vets in Broward County were like, we need to spay-neuter. Please send us to the Spay-Neuter Alliance through the ASPCA. So in Mexico, they have farms everywhere. And in Juarez, they have their own medical clinic, veterinarian clinic, free to their residents. So the students there don't test so frequently, but they're actually boots on the ground, hands-on in the clinic, learning how to do the work. So what we needed to do with Dr. Garcia is teach him how to test over and over and over and over and over. You take these tests till it's like drinking coffee in the morning. It's easy, right? He has the talent. This is a student that went to school in El Paso. Many students do that live in Juarez. If they have a relative over in El Paso, they get to go to school in El Paso, even though they live in Juarez. And you'll watch them cross the border. And I, arms open, please come visit us. Please see this. Please visit the medical university with us. You must see this. There is not a shortage. They're just across the street and need a handout with a skill set that we desperately need in the United States. So I think we can do this.
Well, you said,
if we just pull it together.
You did say your place is, you built your own house and it's really large. So it sounds like you're inviting us to stay at your place.
My dog would love it.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what it, Bishop, is that what it sounded
that's
like?
That's what I heard. Well, I do want to speak to what she's saying though, having been through the medical education here in the United States. And I won't go into detail as to the school that I was at. However, if I didn't pass certain tests with certain grades, which I get, like that's a huge thing, but it was always the paper and pencil tests that were the determinant of whether or not you passed that class. And my final at the end of my program, you know, it was very much a paper and pencil test, and what I was actually given to study from wasn't even accurate. So like we were given a multiple question test or booklet, and it had the answers in the back so you could go back and forth, and some of the answers weren't even correct in the back of the book. And that's, so I get that. Like, it is hard in the United States for that. And I love the fact that they're getting a whole lot more hands-on.
I also want to say too, Bishop, like the vision that you have, Lorelei, like to find people that are available to do the work that's needed in this country, right? Like, access to care is such a buzzword. And I use it a lot in our profession because, again, that's how we're going to fix this issue that we are continuing to see, right? And so,
right.
How can you be a model for other agencies? Like, where can people contact you so you can help them through this process? Like, what's the best way?
Absolutely. I mean, reach out. I mean, one thing in animal welfare you'll learn is we help each other, and we don't charge for it. I'm just going to put that out there. We help each other. Because if we're in animal welfare, it's because we clearly care about the community and the pets and the animals. We deal with wildlife too, so we have to include them and the reptiles. Let's not forget the good old rattlesnakes out here. So, you know, anyone can reach out to me. I'll give you the steps. I'll help you walk through it because it is convoluted by design, you know?
So you're on your website or on the county's website. Your number's listed again, epcounty.com. And there's a general email, spay-neuter. I love that. Spay-neuter at epcounty.com. So if they email that, they can get in touch with you. spay-neuter@epcounty.com.
Correct. And to this day, we're still contracted with a couple vets. Like I said, Dr. Garcia just passed his clinical exam. He has two more. We have the support of the ASPCA now. They're ready to send out their whole team to help set up our clinic. One of the biggest hurdles is getting equipment, anything with metal. If you have ordered new trucks or medical equipment, can take up to 8 months to a year. So we're in the process of ordering our anesthesia machines, you know, all the beautiful stuff. I mean, it's brand new. It's beautiful. Crystal and I walk in there and go, maybe we should move our office into the vet clinic because it's so pretty.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's amazing.
And Chrysler, we're also building 16 new kennels there, and we have 12 kennels opening at the jail. So the inmates will take care of those animals, and then 16 at the clinic. And then we have 6 kennels across the county that my amazing officers do everything with from the truck. You know, we vaccinate, we bring them in through the contracted vets, we spay, neuter anything, anyone who pulls an animal from us, either as an adopter, a foster, or a rescue group, gets their animals spayed, neutered, and vaccinated at no fee. And then because I'm targeting the animals that are at risk of euthanasia, we spay and neuter anything female over 40 pounds and every cat, again, at no fee. Now, if you bring us a poodle, that's going to be a miniature poodle, 120.
Nope, don't talk about poodles. Nope.
Nope.
No poodles.
Dan has a... love-hate no relationship.
Well, standard miniature poodle's fine. Standard poodle, nah. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah. How about the labradoodle?
Nope. No. Not that either.
No. No doodles. Crystal, are you seeing a difference within the community at all yet? I know it's very new.
Yeah, no, we are seeing a difference. I mean, something that we like to emphasize in our department is information before citation. So educating the public. So now there's more people that are open to actually spaying and neutering. Whereas before, you know, we had community members say things like, oh, we just want to have one more litter, or we want to get, you know, it's healthy for them to go through a heat cycle. So now, you know, it's amazing to see people being so receptive to what we're doing.
That's awesome. Crystal, how do you, in the communities that may have like a large like population from Mexico, right? I was always told that Mexican men, and if I'm wrong here, please help me understand, that would had this like idea, if you neutered a male dog, like it's not a boy anymore. Is that a thing? Is that like something that you have to educate or walk through?
Oh, yes. Yes. Especially, I mean, I don't want to I mean, in the older community members, there definitely is some sort of negative connotation about neutering, but you know, we explain, you know, possibilities of cancer in older dogs, just general health issues in their pups, and they're still kind of, they don't want to come. So we offer the service, hey, you know, we'll have an officer go in the morning, we'll pick it up, we'll bring it back to you, you know, you don't have to do anything, we'll do everything for you.
Okay.
Yeah, but generally speaking, there is in the older generation something negative about neutering the pups, but
you're able to
there's
educate.
Not really a lot of, yeah, there's not a lot of pushback once we give the proper information.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I know we talked a lot about just the great services that you do, which is really great and fun. And I really appreciate it. And I think that's why we picked you as the agency of the year. I know we're relatively probably new to you as a podcast and such, but, and this is our first year doing the awards. Mooney's like, he's got his own, he's knocking stuff over. But for you to be recognized, how does that feel, even though it's coming from like a small podcast as the agency of the year? Like, does that, do you think that'll do anything for the team or does that?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, they work so hard in the field. I'm so proud of our officers. As Director Combs mentioned, you know, they do everything out of their trucks. They vaccinate, they microchip, they do everything they can to return pups home. So when I say I'm proud of them, you know, sometimes probably it may not mean nothing, but coming from you all, you know, agency of the year, that is just incredible. And I know that it'll help boost morale, especially at times when we can't find homes for pups. It's very hard. It's difficult. And I know, I mean, this job is just unforgiving sometimes and unthankful. It's thankless work. So this is going to be such an amazing news for them, for sure.
Well, we have, you'll be getting the award in the mail soon along with some other things. So stay tuned for that. We're excited to be able to just help recognize the hard work that not only you're doing, but all, you know, everybody that's really trying in this profession. It's really important that we, you know, recognize it. Because as you said, it's a thankless job at times.
And I hope that this can be, I know that you guys are not the only ones out there that have had this want and this idea. Dan and I've talked about it a lot about, you know, we need more veterinarians and we need to figure out a way. So I'm hoping that people listening will actually reach out and see if there's any way that they can work with their local schools and things like that, similar to what you guys are. Obviously, it's a little bit harder because, again, you know, we're talking the difference between the American system and the Mexican or the Mexico educational system. But hopefully that we can work towards the betterment of the animal welfare in general and get more of the vets in the area. So I'm hoping that people will reach out.
Yeah. And I hope it becomes more of a trend than just a unique thing that you're doing. I think because of that aspect, we need to continue to focus on that access to care, right? Whether it's like the American Spay Alliance or, you know, whatever other groups are doing things like this, really putting their boots on the ground and finding ways to heal the situation. Because that's what's happening is, like, again, we can put a Band-Aid on a bullet gunshot wound. You know, it's not doing anything. Like, we got to figure out this aspect, which is to truly, truly stop the problem. Because the less animals we have in the community, right, The more we're able to really provide that excellent care and service, and that's what everybody wants. So,
right, and less animals will be at risk for euthanasia. That's what we always talk about. How can we have more animals go into new homes? Well, let's have less of them to begin with. So
that,
you're right.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it leads us kind of to next week's episode where we do talk to Best Friends Animal Services about some of the terminology and language they use. It's like, why is their focus on that instead of save them all? Why isn't it spay them all or neuter them all, right? Like, that's the real, and we'll have that conversation with them next week. So it's not anything we really need to get into now. I just, I feel like we send the wrong message in the community because it's like, well, let's not euthanize anything. Okay. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where we don't have that ability to do that. And so I see a vision as we like succession plan for generations, right? Not just the next generation, but for generations. I see a day at some point in this country where most of our strays come from other countries, right? Like we're not a stray hub anymore. Whether we're bringing them from India or Mexico or Africa, whatever it may be, we won't have the stray problem that we do now. And you know, that may be 100 years from now, but we're working towards that.
Wow, that's a big vision there.
I won't be alive to see it.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out what kind of animal, what they look like, what comes from Colombia. Oh, frenchies, that's right.
Okay. Right, but like when you succession plan, and we don't talk about that term enough in this industry, right? Like that should be the goal, is outside of responsible, and I mean this, and I support this, responsible breeding, right? So people that breed dogs for certain things, outside of that in this country, I don't think we'll see the stray problem that we have in 100 years, right? Like, again, we won't be here for that. But like, I see a time where we truly import, and we're doing it now on more of like an emotional heartstrings thing. Like, oh, I saved this dog from this war or whatever. Right. But I think in some situations in the future, that will be the norm. Like we will be importing animals to this country because we've actually tackled the problem.
Wow.
From your mouth to God's ears. That's an incredible vision.
But, I mean, if we put it out there and that's our goal, we'll get there. We won't be alive for it. That's all.
Right. Well, I'm happy to report that I have been talking about this program internally at conferences. And so the industry knows about it. We'll talk about the big groups, HSUS, Best Friends, Maddie's. They've heard me talk. I have approached them. I am that kid that walks up, and I'm not a kid, but hey, I have this idea. And they're like, what? You know, so nobody grabbed onto it until the ASPCA said, yeah, we get it. We want to be a part of this. So they were all informed, but now I have local groups reaching out. Houston has reached out. I've spoken to people in Dallas. I'm talking shelters and veterinarians. Santa Fe, New Mexico is a more progressive state than Texas. They've already had 2 foreign veterinarians graduate with the American Medical Veterinarian Association. So there, I talked to their Board of Health, you know, wow, you guys are great, because you can come and be a graduate and spay and neuter if you're enrolled in the AVMA, which is $1,700 just to get into the program, and work under a vet, you can spay neuter. Not in Texas, though. You got to pass a couple tests, you know. And boy, they want you to speak English. I'm like, really? You know, I worked in Austin for 17 years. Why do we have to test, you know, back to English again? That's not our language here. We're going to do the best customer service in the language they're comfortable with. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
So I'll never get an answer for that. But yes, people have been reaching out. We're so excited to share this program, and it can be done. It's just they have a skill set that we desperately need. How do we help them get here?
Well, again, check out the website, epcounty.com. Again, epcounty.com or email spayneuter@epcounty.com.
Yep.
I love that. Bishop, any final thoughts?
I was going to say, I want to get him back on in a year. I want to know how the program's going.
Yeah, I want to crunch numbers with y'all. I would love to go through and talk about like what, like intake currently, right? Right now, what is our intake? And then a year from now, how many spay and neuter surgeries have we done? And where's our intake? That kind of stuff.
Grab those metrics from Austin Animal Center, because in 2001, we started a high volume or low cost, no cost called Emancipet, where the city reached out and partnered with them. So you'll see their numbers for various reasons now because of COVID. But before COVID, our numbers did decrease in intake in Austin Animal Center. That's where I got the idea.
Okay.
I mean, the metrics are there. The idea works. And then, you know, I hired a veterinarian when I was in Broward from Columbia who came here. And there is a corporation that had this idea way before I did. And they even have a hub where they approach the graduates in Mexico City. It's called Banfield. And they wait for those graduates, and they've been doing this for years. But when you sign up for them to help you become a vet here, you sign a contract where you work every week. It's 5 years, I believe she said. 5 years, every weekend, every night. You know, it's brutal. And, you know, ours is very simple. It's just 3 years to cover the cost of the certifications. But, yeah. You know, then you can go on and do medicine anywhere, anywhere you want. So, yeah, there's a bigger issue here. But a corporation was way ahead of me. And I got the idea from the vet that I hired in Broward. Because her contract was ending, she said, "I came from Columbia. I'm at the end of my contract." I'm like, "What are you talking about, contract?" And she explained it to me, and I was like, "Wow, what a good idea, though." But you know, so just in the right place at the right time. Just keep doing our work and keep your ears open and learn from each other.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for the recognition. We can't thank Tyler enough. I mean, he's such a great writer. He's just a brilliant teacher. Also, if you ever get a chance to see his cruelty course with HSUS. So thank you guys. Thank you for putting hard topics out there. Crystal and I have been enjoying listening to your podcasts now, especially the cruelty yes. investigations where you break it down. Love those.
Love it.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Crystal. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, again, thank you so much for everything. This is incredible. Don't short yourself. It's not just from a small thing. It's for us, it means the world.
Well, we're happy to be able to be that platform for all yeah. of everyone in the industry. So thank you. And we really just look forward to continuing to support you and shelters and agencies like you. So that's our goal here. On the Animal Control Report. Check out our website again, keephumane.com. Check out our Facebook page. That is the Animal Control Report. And what else we got, Bishop?
Instagram.
That's the thing that I'm redoing. So check that out in a couple weeks.
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. We're there as well. So we really appreciate the support, all the listeners. Remember to like, share, rate the podcast. If you're on Spotify, click the follow button. That absolutely helps us as well. So as always, we say thanks for listening and keep it.
Let's keep it.
Humane.
Thanks, guys.